Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that you were at peace with God, where you know that if something happened in the middle of the night and you didn't wake up and you had to face God, you know that you and God are okay. You know that you're at peace with Him. You know that you're in a right relationship with Him. You know that none of your sins are ever going to be held against you. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that you're at peace with God? Hey, I got great news. You can be. Amen. You can be. Look in your handout at the top of your handout and notice that verse. It's a great verse, Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, being made right with God by faith, we have, and what's the next three words? Peace with God through our, how does it come? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, would y'all agree that's good news? Amen? But you know what? It's not good news if you don't hear it. Right? You got to hear it. You got to hear it. Good news has to be shared. It's got to be heard. Have you ever been the last one in your family to hear about something wonderful that happened? And you're like, man, wait a minute, hold on. What did you just say? Why didn't anybody tell me? And it's like, whoa, I didn't know. Why didn't anyone tell me about this? Good news is meant to be shared. And we've been studying the last 3 weeks the story of the day that Peter became a follower of Jesus Christ. And you remember I brought in the, Robbie let me use his fishing net. This is pretty cool. It's got the weights and everything. And it's got this and this humongous fishing net. And we talked about the fact that Peter was a commercial fisherman and the net was kind of synonymous with Peter's life. That's who he was. And when he came to shore after seeing a miracle by Christ out in the deep, the Bible says that he laid down his net and he forsook all and he followed Jesus Christ. But what's really neat about that is that Peter had actually been introduced to Jesus Christ before that event ever happened. He was introduced to Christ by his brother. And that's kind of neat because for me, that's what happened in my life. My brother Steve is the one that that introduced me to Christ. And Jesus told Peter and he told the other disciples, his followers, he said, I am going to make you fishers, not just of fish. You already know how to do that. I am going to make you fishers of men. In other words, guys, we're going after people. Jesus is saying, I am going to use you, Peter. And I'm going to use you, James, and I'm going to use you, John, and all the others that are there. I'm going to use you to bring others to me so that they too can be made at peace with God. I want us to get a glimpse of how that works. How do you become a fisher of men? Go to John chapter 1 and let me show you how this works. John chapter number 1. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page number 1097. If you're using that church Bible there in front of you, there in the seat in front of you, it's page 1097. Feel free to grab that and use it. That's what it's there for. John chapter number 1. All right, let's begin reading in John 1 and verse number 6. John 1, verse number 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was what? John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That's a capital L. Can anybody tell me who is the light? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the light. John came to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. God revealed to John that Jesus, his cousin, was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. John understood that. Go to verse number 29, same chapter, verse 29. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 32, John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John gets it. John understands exactly who Jesus is, but let's move on now to verse 35. It says, "And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith," he's got two guys with him, "Behold the Lamb of God." Verse 37, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they," what, church? "Follow Jesus." So there's two men hanging out with John. They hear John say, "Hey guys, you see him right there?" Points to Jesus. He said, "That's him. That's him. That's the one we've been waiting on. That's the Messiah. That is the Son of God. That's him, guys." So what is he doing? John went fishing, didn't he? He went fishing for these guys. And I want you to notice what happens here. Notice verse number 40. Verse number 40. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was," everybody say the name, who? "Andrew," and that's Simon Peter's what, church? His brother. So John goes fishing with these two disciples. They become followers of Jesus, right? Then Andrew goes fishing for his brother Peter. One of them is Andrew, and he goes fishing for Peter because look at the next verse. Verse number 41. "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted to Christ, "and he," and I love the simplicity of this, "and he," what? He brought him to Jesus. Isn't that neat? He brought him to Jesus. I love that. So you got Andrew who goes fishing for his brother Peter, and of course we know that Peter here is introduced to Jesus. We know that a seed was planted this day. We know that Peter, right, studying the last 3 weeks, we know that Peter became a follower of Jesus Christ, cast down his net, and he became a follower of Christ. Why? Why? Because Peter's brother Andrew went fishing for Peter. But it gets better. Look at verse 43. Verse 43. It says, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip. And he said unto him, Follow me." Philip becomes a follower of Christ. But look at verse 44. "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of," who, church? Andrew. Andrew and Peter went fishing. And Andrew and Peter must have told Philip, and now Philip becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. But it gets better. Ain't this getting gooder and gooder? Amen. Look at verse number 45. It says, "Philip findeth Nathanael. And he said unto him, We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip goes fishing for his buddy, his friend, Nathanael. And he also would become a follower of Jesus Christ. So now, let's get the picture here, church. Let's review. John the Baptist gets it. He understands it. He goes fishing for two disciples. They become followers. One of them's Andrew. Andrew then goes fishing for Peter. Peter becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. Andrew and Peter go fishing for Philip. Philip becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. Philip goes fishing for Nathanael, his friend, and Nathanael becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. There's something fishy going on here. Amen. Yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it, honey? I just thought of that. Wasn't that good? Do you like that, Caleb? Yeah. Something fishy. Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of fishing going on here, isn't there? This incredible story continues today. People fishing for people and sharing the good news with whom they have relationships. No technology will ever replace it, and I'm all for technology. Believe me. I mean, man, use it if you can. But there's no technology that will replace this idea of someone sharing Jesus with someone else that's a brother, that's a friend, someone that they have a relationship with. It is a very, very powerful, powerful thing. And what's really neat about it is that there are modern day stories of what you just read. You may be one, right? You're a modern day story probably. Someone told you of Jesus and someone told them. The person that told you, somebody told them. But I heard the story about there's a story of a young man who just got saved 2 weeks ago. He's a new Christian, just got saved, gave his heart to Jesus. And he and there's a lady, they're both in the same coffee shop. Neither one's ever met, but she's indirectly responsible for him coming to Christ. You say, wait a minute, how can that be? They've never met, they don't even meet in the coffee shop, yet she's indirectly responsible for that young man coming to Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor Dan, I just don't know how that could ever happen. Well, I want you to, let's dim the lights, and I want you to watch this story real quick. This is a modern day story of what you just read about in John 1. Watch this.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it. Now he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. Now is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ, and of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met. And never will.
Isn't that good, church? Amen. What's the point of that video and what's the point of this text? I want you to write this down in your handout. It says, the gospel of Jesus Christ surges through the network of human relationships. It is so natural, it's so powerful, so effective, so life-changing, so simple, but yet so timeless. We see it in Bible days here in John 1. We see it in modern-day times, what you just saw on the screen. If you know Jesus Christ, no matter who you are, no matter what your personality type is, no matter what your background is, Jesus wants to make you a fisher of souls. Do you want your life to really take on special meaning and to have eternal impact? You know, I suspect that all of us believe in our heart there's got to be more to us being on planet Earth than just getting up every day, having our coffee, going to work, earning a paycheck, living an existence, maybe just loving our family, but then dying. I think all of us long to have more of a purpose and a meaning to life than just bringing home a paycheck every week and then one day dying. I think all of us in our hearts, if we know the Lord, we want our lives to have impact here on the earth and even out into eternity. And the way to do that is to become the fisherman that God intended for you to be. How can you be used of God to bring others to Jesus? Well, using the fishing analogy, there are three key fishing holes that you need to focus on and that you cast your net into. And you know, the beautiful thing about this message today is that I'm not going to be up here asking you to confront total strangers about your faith in Christ. Some people are good at that. Some people have the gift of the evangelist, and they're extremely good at going up to a total stranger and getting a conversation going, turning it to Christ, and being able to lead people to the Lord that way. There are people extremely gifted that way. Then there's other people who maybe are very shy, they're introverts, they could never do that. What I'm going to share with you today doesn't involve going up to strangers. I'm going to ask you to consider taking your net and casting your net into three fishing holes, and it's people you already know. The first one is this. Number one in your handout is your family. I want you to think in terms of your family. Anyone in your family that maybe does not know Christ, you could have such an impact on your own family. I want you to go to John chapter number 4. Same book. Just go forward a couple chapters. John chapter number 4. And look, let's look at a story here of a nobleman, a ruler. He was a ruler. Nobleman means he was a ruler. Look at verse 46. It says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman, a ruler, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and he besought him, he begged him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." Verse number 50, "Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way." Verse 53, "The son is healed." And it says, "So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed." And notice, how did his faith impact his family? It says, he himself believed and his what? His whole house. This man's faith in Christ ended up bringing his entire family, his whole household, to Jesus Christ. You know, the very first convert to ever come to Christ in Europe was a lady by the name of Lydia. Paul met her down by the riverside along with another group that were worshiping God, but they didn't know of Jesus. And so Paul ends up leading Lydia to Christ. She becomes the first convert in Europe. The very next verse, what do we see? We see Lydia and her entire household coming to faith in Christ. Same chapter, Paul is in the city of Philippi. He ends up getting arrested for preaching the gospel. They thought he was a troublemaker, so they throw him in prison, right? Him and Silas. While they're in prison, the Bible says there was a jailer. There was a man there that was, you know, he was the guard, if you will, the prison guard. And because of circumstances there, all the doors are left open, and this guy's afraid all of his prisoners have escaped. This guy takes a sword, and he's having suicidal thoughts, going to kill himself. Paul stops him. Paul witnesses to this man and shares Christ's love with him. This man ends up believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved right there in the jail. This man goes from suicidal thoughts to being gloriously saved and becoming a child of God. And then the next verse, what do we see? We see him going home and his entire family trusting Jesus Christ. Now, what am I saying? I'm simply saying that when we look into the Bible teaches that you and I that know the Lord, we can have great impact on our family. Certainly your immediate family, those that are living under your roof, but I'm talking about even extended family. I'm talking about family that would include a brother, sister, a stepbrother, a stepsister, stepparents, your parents. Maybe when we talk about extended family, we're talking about uncles and aunts, grandparents. We're talking about nieces and nephews. We're talking about cousins. You've got extended family whereby that's a great fishing hole because you already have a relationship there, right? You already have a relationship by virtue of the fact that they're family. And I wonder, are there people in your family right now that do not know Christ as their Savior? God wants you to cast your net. He wants you to share that good news. Plant some seeds. You know, hopefully help bring them to Jesus Christ. Maybe it's connecting with them through Facebook. Maybe it's connecting with them through a text. You know, maybe it's an unexpected phone call that you make to them. Maybe it's an email. But you're connecting with them because some of you are like, I haven't talked to some of my family in years. Well, maybe it's time to reconnect. Maybe it's time to cast your net. You remember what we read earlier? Andrew was instrumental in bringing his own brother, Peter, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be that fisher that God wants you to be, but you got to be willing to cast your net. And that first fishing hole is family. Let me give you the second one. Number two, the second fishing hole is friends. I want you to write that in, the word friends. Now, a great Bible example to me of this, of taking that net right here, all right, and you say, okay, all right, maybe all your family is saved. I mean, everyone, cousins, aunts, uncles, everybody's saved. That doesn't apply to you. Well, take your net, cast it to friends. You see, in Mark 5, there's a story I preached on last year about a man that lived in Gadara, and Jesus came in a boat to this area, and when he got out of the boat, this guy comes running at him. This guy had lost his mind, basically, and we don't know why, but we know once he was a normal guy, but he lost his mind. And he was running around naked, living in the cemetery there. He was a cutter, right? People do that today. And he was a cutter. He was cutting himself with rocks. And we don't know why, but he was doing that. We know that this guy was so out of it that people had given him up. I mean, he was like the town Looney Tune, right? Nobody wanted anything to do with the guy. He was left alone. Jesus Christ comes, loves the guy, cares for him, and changes his life. And the next thing you know, the town's looking, this guy is sitting clothed and in his right mind. Whew, man, isn't that awesome? Sitting clothed and in his right mind. Anybody in here sitting clothed and in your right mind today? Amen? Oh, man, I hope so. Amen. I hope we got some folks like that in here. This guy, his life's been changed. Well, now here's the deal. He wanted to go with Jesus when Jesus left. And he's like, I want to be with you and your disciples. I want to hang out with you. And Jesus Christ told him no. And the reason why he told him no, it's in your handout. Look at Mark 5:19, and it's at the bottom of your handout there. Howbeit Jesus suffered, he allowed him not. But he said unto him, go home to thy what? Friends. And what's the next two words? Tell them. Say that really loud. What is it? Tell them. Tell them how great things the Lord's done for you. And hath had compassion, he said, on you. You know what Jesus says to the guy? The guy's like, Jesus, I want to hang out with you. I want to be with your disciples. And I want to go wherever you go. Jesus says, no, I don't think so. He says, well, why not? He says, because you got some fishing to do. You got some fishing to do. I want you to go home to your friends. And you tell them the great things that the Lord has done in your life. When a person gets saved, when they first get saved, when they first come to know the Lord, they have on average 12, a dozen friends who don't know Jesus. Statistics show that after a few years of being saved, that number drops to 4. Why? Because we're like this guy, all we want to do is hang out with the Jesus crowd. And I get that. I understand that. But let's not forget what they sung earlier. Jesus was a friend of what? Sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He knew there were fish to catch. And now it's our job. And you know, we read earlier about Nathanael. And Nathanael, how did he come to Christ? He was introduced to Jesus Christ by his friend, Philip. And Nathanael was a little skeptical at first. Some of you were skeptical at first when somebody first shared with you the gospel. And sure enough, his buddy was skeptical. And he said, you got to come. We found the Messiah. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's like, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He's like, I don't think so. And Philip's like, come on, just come. Come and see. And he grabs it. Come on, come, come and see, man. Come and see, buddy. Do you have any friends that don't know Christ as their Savior? What a great fishing hole to cast your net. You say, oh, Pastor Dan, I'm just afraid if I do that, I might lose their friendship. No, you won't. You won't lose your friendship with them. Who do you think wants you to believe that? Yeah. He's just trying to get you paralyzed with fear. You're not going to lose your friendship. It's probably not going to happen. If they're your friend, I mean, they're going to understand that's who you are. That's just what God's done in your life, and they're going to let you share that with them. Whereas somebody like me that doesn't know them, they might just cut me off, slam the door in my face, but they're going to listen to you. I mean, you have good news that could potentially change their life. So what kind of a friend would you be to not share that with them, to keep it to yourself? And again, as you know, going back to what we were saying, how that when we are saved for a while, we don't have any lost friends anymore. And so maybe you need to reconnect with some old friends. It's easier today through all the different social media and the internet. Maybe you need to kind of maybe reconnect with some friends. Tell them, like this guy, tell them the great things that God's done in your life. That fishing hole of your friends. Think about that a minute. Friends. Family. One final fishing hole. You ready? There's one final one I want to give you. And I want you to write this in. Your associates. Your associates. You say, who is that? That's the people you associate with. Wasn't that profound? It's people you see all the time. It's people you rub shoulders with. It's people you see on a regular basis. And he says, cast your net there. These are people that you see every day because of work. These are people that you see at the golf course. These are people, they're on the same ball team, so you see them 2, 3, 4 times a week. These are people that you see 2, 3, 4 times a week at the gym and talk to them. These are folks you sit with in college every day. These are people you go to high school with. These are people that belong to the same club. These are neighbors. Who's going to fish for their souls? Who's going to bring them to Jesus? I want you to think about this now. Think about it. You know Jesus and you know them. Now, who's going to bring them to Jesus? You know Jesus and you know them. Thank you. I'm like, are y'all awake out there? Or the rain's kind of got you tired, I think. This isn't rocket science, right? You know Jesus and you know them. And in your handout it says, they are in your life for a reason. They are in your life for a reason. I want you to flip back to Mark 2 real quick. Go back 2 books. You're going to go through Luke, which we were in last week, to Mark. Mark chapter 2. I want to show you something really neat here. There's a man here that gets saved. He comes to know Christ. And his name's Matthew, also called Levi. And in Mark, go back to Mark 2, chapter 2, and look at verse 14. It says that as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. That means he was a tax collector. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. So Matthew has his life changed. You understand being a tax collector was not good back then? It was basically a license. It's not good today, right? But it's basically a license. Back then, it was a license to extort. I mean, you were just a little bit above the mob if you were a tax collector, all right? I mean, it was nasty. And Matthew's got these associates, right, that he wants them to know Jesus. But he's thinking, how are they going to come to know Jesus? I could maybe try to take them over here to the temple and hear the rabbi, but they probably won't go. if I ask them. Let's see, I could try to maybe take them to go hear Jesus, but I never know where he's going to be day to day, and they're probably not going to walk as far as we need to walk to go hear Jesus, so that's probably not going to work. So then all of a sudden, Matthew gets this idea. He says, I know how I can do it. I know how I can introduce him to Jesus. Look at Mark 2:15. Look at the next verse, verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house. What does it mean when it says Jesus sat at meat? He's eating dinner. But look at this. This is the ingenious part. Many publicans, tax collectors, and then he just summarizes the rest of the group as what? Sinners. Sat also together with who? Jesus and who? His disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Matthew's like, I know how I can do this. I know one thing I can get my friends to do, my associates. I'll have a party. They love parties. And I'm going to get my associates, and I'm going to get Jesus and the disciples, and we're going to all be in the same place so they can rub shoulders and meet Jesus and his disciples. What a great idea. Have you noticed that unbelievers and believers don't rub shoulders together a lot like that socially? Why not? Why not? Salt doesn't do any good as long as it's in the shaker. Amen? You got to get it out of the shaker. We're the salt. You got to get out of the shaker. You got to rub shoulders. You got to make some contact. That's awesome. I love it. He's like, I'm going to get about the only time you ever see believers and unbelievers ever get together, you know, and it's usually almost by accident. That's a wedding, you know, and then usually it's the Christians over in one corner talking to each other, and those who don't know Christ and aren't Christians off in another corner doing their thing. It's sad, but Matthew had it down. He had it down. He's like, this is the idea. And it would be, I guess it would be kind of like you inviting your coworkers over along with maybe some people from your life group at the same time to your house. Having the ball team over along maybe with some guys who love sports from the church over. Having maybe your ladies club out in the community there that you go to, but having them over with maybe some of the ladies from the church to your house. Having some of your college classmates, but then some of the singles from the mug over. Having a Super Bowl party and you got some folks from the church, but you also got some of your neighbors over so they can mingle. Robbie Halleck was telling me he just moved into a new neighborhood. He says, I'm going to do a grill. I'm going to do a grill out and I'm going to invite my whole block to come because I want to get to know them. That's what I'm talking about. He said, I'm going to have a grill. I'm going to give them free hamburgers, hot dogs, come down so I can get to know them. Great idea. Great idea. It's just what Matthew did. It's not anything novel. Matthew did the same thing. Robbie was telling me last weekend, he went to a dinner in Orlando, and he said it's a lady in Orlando. She opens up her house once a month to international students. 80% of international students have never been in an American home. We got a ton of them 1 mile down the street. We've got them all over the community. 80% never been in an American home. They want to. They want to understand our culture, our country. They're curious. She has a big dinner once a month. She had like 40 people in her house, like 30 international students. I think 15, 20 of them from India. Robbie was there along with some other Christians, rubbing shoulders, talking. Said, got a chance to share the gospel with him when we were doing some icebreaker stuff. He said it was great. Then he did it again on Saturday night right here in Daytona. Same thing, a grill out for international students. Your associates. Think about that. How could God use you? It's a great fishing hole. You see, God created you in Christ Jesus to be a fisher of men. Jesus told his disciples, it's in your handout. Look at it with me. It's on the back side of your handout. It says, Matthew 4:19. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. We've seen three really good fishing holes today. And you know what the really neat thing about it is? In order to fish in these holes I gave you today, you do not have to memorize 50 verses of the Bible. You don't have to have perfect attendance at church for a year. You don't have to be a perfect Christian. No, none of that. You don't have to confront total strangers. The fishing holes I gave you today, there's really just four things you got to do to fish there. Number one in your handout is care. We sung that song, "Do I Care, Lord?" Christ's love is communicated, number one, by you just deciding, I'm going to care. I'm going to care about them. Yeah, I love my life group at church. I love my church family. But I'm going to care for people who don't know him. Number two, I'm going to be a friend. Hey, people that don't know Christ need friends like everybody else. Who better for them to have a friend than somebody who knows the Lord? Number three is pray. And I'm going to challenge you right here. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, over the next 24 hours, either today or tomorrow, I want you to think of three names of people. I want you to actually, right there on that handout somewhere, today or tomorrow, write down the names of three people whose lives that you would like to impact spiritually. Let's take this from the theoretical to the practical, and I want you to actually get three names of people that you would like to impact spiritually. People within your sphere of influence, they're a family, they're a friend, they're an associate. Someone within your sphere of influence that you feel that you have some chance of eventually telling them about Christ. Write down their names and begin praying for them. Pray for them to have an open heart. Pray for you to take advantage of the opportunities God gives you. Pray for them to be tender. Pray that you'll care. Pray that you'll be able to be a friend to them. Pray about it. Will you take that challenge? Number four, the last thing is share. Share with them what Christ has done in your life. Share with them what Christ has done in your life. Will you decide to launch out with Christ and become a fisher of men and women that God desires for you to be? I hope and pray that you will pick up the net. Too bad I don't have my oars in here today like I had last week. But you remember what I said last week when I picked up the oars? When we picked up the oar, I told you to say what?
Launch out.
Launch out. And you know what my challenge is today? Pick up the net and cast it out. Cast your net. Family, friends, associates. People, like that video, people with whom people have relationships. I mean, that video, one college girl reaches her roommate. Then that roommate reaches a coworker. And then that coworker reaches a guy who's down and out. Then that guy reaches out to troubled young men. That's what it's all about.